Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Oh, it's fun.
Crazy.
It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Unchained with Royce time indeed. And Patrick, what is on your mind after a busy weekend in which I made the mistake of going to the Twins game on Sunday and damn near fell asleep?
What is on my mind is no longer the Twins. It's the Stanley Cup Parade. Mm-hmm. That's what's on my mind. Seven games. Mm-hmm. They scored 3-1 and 4, 5, or 6 at all six of the other ones. A four is a mediocre day for these guys. It's not even a good day night for these guys. They're getting 5 and 6 goals. Where in the name of Dino Ciccarelli did this come from? These 5 goals games left and right. And it's
amazing. Your tweet. Too much talent's a problem.
Too much talent.
There's too much damn talent.
The Bugler was playing very well, right? And then he got COVID. The Bugler can't get back in the lineup, right?
Yeah. No. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah.
Too much talent.
There is too much talent down the middle too. We were so worried about center position. Yeah. We're so worried about that. Hey, listen. I was listening the other night to Kurtz and Reed. And Victor Rask was taking a face-off in the third period, and he's 6 for 6. I mean, we all badmouth Victor Rask. He's better with the face-offs than Koivu, for God's sakes. He never loses a face-off.
Well, that's good. He can do something well.
Well, now
that's
you're still down
that's a
on
positive.
Him. They won't take him out of the lineup.
No.
Because they want to win the face-off down at that end if they're only one goal ahead. Although, it's so rare that they're only one goal ahead, it might not be that important.
As you said last week, they're boring.
They are.
When you're this good, when you're this much better than your opponents, it's just boring.
And now, St. Louis, you know that St. Louis is behind Arizona in the they've played two or three fewer games.
Yeah.
But they aren't very good either.
No,
right?
They've had a tough year.
And now they play them 3 times in a row. They've won 7 in a row and they're home for 7 in a row. This could be a 14-game winning streak.
You know what
this
you
are? This could be the number one seed. The Colorado and Vegas better not relax because there's a monster catching up with them here. I'm serious here. These guys are unbelievable.
You are so close, you think the Wild can
taste it. Dude, damn right they can taste it. Who wants to play them? They got a goalie, the best goalie they've had since who? Since
Dubnyk got here and stood on his head for the rest of that season.
Yeah, got him into the playoffs.
But that was it.
Yeah, with a mediocre team.
Oh, yeah,
this
Cam Talbot's been incredible.
Yes.
And Kaprizov is...
And that's probably Guerin's number one move, that he was the guy he picked out Talbot. Although, wasn't there rumor they wanted Fleury?
Yes, but
Too pricey?
Yeah, yes. But, I mean, he did pick off... I mean, there was a long list of guys available at that position, and he happened to pick the best one, or one of the best ones.
Is he better than Fleury? Fleury playing?
Yes, and he's very good. I don't know
for
if
Vegas.
He's better, but, I mean, this guy has been... remarkable. And the thing about this is now, with both goaltenders for the most part, you don't get these damn games where you sit down to watch it and think, what's going to be the first fluky goal? I saw Dubnyk's with the Avs now. Last week, I saw him let in another 2 just bizarre goals.
Is he the backup? Because they were playing the other guy every game,
and
right?
The other guy had COVID, and so he's been out.
Okay. Well, they, The trouble of having it's a very odd division because there's 3 excellent teams. One that I still would think the Blues would qualify as a mediocre team, right?
Yeah.
And 4 dogs.
Yes.
Did they lose to Arizona this year?
Yeah.
Once?
Yeah. Once or twice, yes.
But
they've beaten up on the Kings. They've beaten up on the Kings. They've beaten up on Arizona. They've beaten up on the Sharks and the Ducks. This division was the greatest place to land.
because of the bottom.
Because
but
of the bottom.
The top stuff, but it's not for the playoffs because
yeah, it's gonna be tougher.
Because you gotta beat the Avs and Vegas.
Yes,
but in hockey, who the hell knows?
And if Talbot stands on his head for a series,
you might end up with St. Louis in the second round because whoever they're playing, Vegas might go out and have a 3-0 lead in the first period. Kick it away.
Look at you, Mr. Puck.
Kick it away.
Look at you go.
And choke and lose in four like Tampa Bay did. It's hockey. Anything can. You never know who you're going to play in the next round, even though you think you do.
John Gilbert has nothing on your enthusiasm right now.
Or knowledge of the sport either.
No way. This is why you spent those years in Duluth.
Well, 4 months.
But it's a long time ago. No one's going to check.
I've kept an affinity for it. And unexpected. Here, I tweeted this yesterday. Twins supposed to be good. Bad. Loon's supposed to be good. Bad. These guys, what? Mediocre at best, right?
Yeah, they're supposed to. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it's still
maybe
bad, yes.
Playoffs, maybe not.
Yes.
Right? Maybe playoffs.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, there was. Yeah.
Oh, I do have a bone to pick, though, after we're done praising them.
Okay.
And they're one of the top five teams in the league, five or six teams in the league, and they were supposed to be okay. Mm-hmm. Now, here's my bone to pick. We are saying they made the playoffs 9 of the last 10 years.
You're right.
They did not make the playoffs last year.
That's correct.
They got in the chumps back door and then got beat.
Is that what we call it?
To say you make the playoffs, you had to win the first round.
Chumps back
door. And no matter what they termed it later on, they originally called it the play-in. And then the lying SOBs wanted to tell, they wanted to pump it up a little bit. So they said that all 24 of them make the playoffs. Horse crap. Put an asterisk against that. They have not been in the playoffs since 18, right?
Yeah.
They missed in 19 and they missed last year.
Yes.
Yes. They missed.
No, I'm with you.
Missed the last 2 years.
Are you saying that Bally Sports North might be embellishing the success of a local team?
Not only that, they are the Wild are telling us that, too. We had that in the paper today that they made the playoffs.
Yeah, no,
that
was a playing round.
That was a playing round. No matter what they termed it, you were not in the playoffs.
Correct.
And,
yeah, you had to get past that round, and they did not.
Yes, so that's my bone to pick with that.
That's a very small thing, though.
And before I forget this, and there's a very good possibility I will, You cannot, Major League Baseball, declare 7-inning games as official games and then say a guy who pitches a no-hitter and then one of those 7-inning games did not pitch a no-hitter. You cannot claim that this is a baseball game that officially counts in the standings, 7 innings, and then say Madison Bumgarner pitching 7 no-hit innings is not a no-hitter. It's got to be one or the other. Whatever the committee of 1991 declared, that has nothing to do with the way you're playing the game 30 years later. That is an official no-hitter.
And so now we're going with the rules that when they stripped a bunch of those away in 91.
Like Dean Chance had one that was 5 innings and
those
stuff like
that. Those are all gone.
Those are gone. But you cannot say these are games. These are official games and then say it's not a no-hitter.
Did they decide on this last night as well?
Well, it does, I think.
I saw a note that said baseball's trying to decide if this is going to be an official no-no or not.
I believe that they went with that last night. I believe in the next day or two it will be declared a no-hitter because they'll see, they're the world champs at hypocrisy.
Yes.
But the hypocrisy of this is monumental. You cannot say, okay, we're playing 14 innings today, and that's 2 games, but a guy pitches 7 innings and it's not a no-hitter. It's a no-hitter.
How are you not prepared for this is my question.
Because they're idiots.
I mean, seriously.
They're not. It's like
I assumed it was on the that they had decided.
It's like they're not going to let guys block the plate anymore. So there's some guy's foot gets in front of the plate when a guy's 25 feet up on the line and they say, safe. We've looked at it. They blocked the plate. Well, that's they got bored waiting for the guy to get there and they put their foot in front of it because they're morons. They never think of anything. Joe Torre's my age and he's senile and now they, you know, he doesn't do the rules anymore.
Yeah.
But he's still... He's got somebody else doing them, but he's still like the senior guy. But they never anticipate anything. They don't anticipate. You got to, on opening day, say, if in a seven-inning game,
yeah,
a guy pitches the entire seven innings and does not allow a hit, it's a no-hitter. It's a no-hitter.
Right.
Yeah, I mean...
But I thought you would have made that rule the second that you decided to play seven-inning games.
Here, I got one for you. Supposing, which could have occurred, we play seven innings and a guy has a no-hitter and it's 0-0.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to the eighth and you put a guy at second base.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy scores. But you don't give up any. They sacrifice him over and hit a sacrifice fly, and you don't give up. You get the loss and the run, right? The run's not charged to you.
Right, but it's
what is that going to be? What are you going to do with that? You that guy that...
Yeah, you have a no-hitter.
It's a no-hit, no-walk, no-error,
yep.
1-0 loss.
Yeah. You know? But if you pitch eight, they'd still say that you didn't go nine. The required nine. Yeah. Now, here's my question. What if you do go nine and the same thing happens, and then you've qualified for
then you qualified the no-hitter? For a no-hitter. But even though you had two bases, even though you're the loser, because the guy that you put on, you know, it's even worse, the one that they did to Thielbar last year, because he was on the mound, and they put the guy in second. They took him out of the game. And he got the loss.
They had to, yeah.
He got the loss, even though he faced four batters and none of them. He faced four batters. They all made outs.
Yep.
No. He came in. He got the first out in the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
And then they brought in Alcala, I believe, and he let the run score, and Thielbar got the loss when the guy from second, who he had nothing to do with putting on second, scored. So he faced four hitters. Got them all out. He got the loss.
Oh, my God. So he inherited the runner put on.
No, he retired the side clean.
Okay.
In the ninth.
Okay.
He came back out for the 10th.
Right.
They put the guy on second.
Right.
He retired the hitter he faced.
Right.
He came out. No. He left the game.
I get what you're saying.
Alcala let the run. It was Thielbar's runner.
Right. But he inherits a runner he didn't put on.
No. And then he gets an out.
Yeah.
And the guy doesn't advance. So the guy's still on second, and Alcala comes in. It's stupid anyway, but in that situation, the guy who permits the guy from second to score certainly deserves the loss more than the guy.
Yeah, why don't we just change? Just change.
Well, that's
what I'm saying.
Again,
just
they
change.
Don't think.
I don't mind the adjustments. What I want changed and given some thought is how they're going to score things.
Yes.
And I know I'm in a very small group of people that actually give a damn about that.
Well, I do.
But that's what I want you to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but how do you go to games that are going to last seven innings apiece and not decide what the rules are going to be?
Because they don't.
Like, I saw a tweet yesterday saying they're trying to decide if this is a no-no or not. It was like from Bob Glauber, somebody from the Times or the Post or something. But anyway, it made no sense.
Yeah.
Why are we trying to decide on that?
No. Yeah. Well, you're right.
Like,
you can't anticipate. In an era when nobody's getting any hits, you know, where the combined batting average of Major League Baseball is .230.
Yeah.
Nobody thinks that. You know, this might occur. What are we going to do
very
with it?
Quickly?
Yeah. They're all sitting around trying to, you know, you ever look at their personnel department? They've got like thousands of employees, Manfred's been.
Yes.
He's got these 30 brainiacs that are really helping him change baseball. And nobody says, hey, What happens if nobody gives up any hits?
Yeah.
You know?
How are we going to score that? What are we going to call that?
Oh, they drive me nuts. They drive me nuts. But, hey, now how long was Sunday's game? That went over three, right?
Yes. Yesterday's game. Let me see here. Sunday's game. Right, 3:31.
Oh, okay. So we're back to normal.
Oh, two, yeah.
217 oh, yeah. And then under three.
The one game I went to went 3:31.
It was, I looked Friday night for like the first time in 3 years, I rewrote after a game because it was time. And I said, but I never registered with me what time it was. You know, I just knew there was, I had to be done by 11:20. And yeah. I was done at 10:50 or something.
Yep.
I said, how the hell long was that game? It was 2:17.
It was incredible.
It was unbelievable.
It was great.
The one thing about Happ is he had a few 3-2 counts, but he got there in a hurry. He didn't hold the ball, you know. He didn't hold the ball.
Which brings us to yesterday's starter, Shoemaker.
Ooh, he's slow.
I can't take it.
I guess he's there, and he's not good.
No, but he but I mean, at least forever, if you're going to get hit, or if you're not going to be that good, more quickly.
You know what? We have these registers. We got these things on them now that social distancing that they wear and to see if, you know, if somebody happens to be standing next to somebody at second base for 15 minutes, and it's, you know, which is possible these times.
Yep.
Why don't we get buzzers on attached little
Like dog collars.
Yeah, but on down pitchers? On your wrist or yep. something. When the 20 seconds are up, you get zapped. And then you got five more seconds to pitch. You go, you got to throw the ball, you know.
Or it just goes off permanently.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's it. Or it's attached to the scoreboard, and the scoreboard puts a ball up. Boom. If you don't,
I like the zapping, though. I like that right. idea.
Let's give a jolt. I don't think it should be a taser. I think it should
be a
jolt.
Oh, yeah, jolt's fine.
Let you know that it'll make you flinch a little. So, you know what? Talked about this earlier today. Here's the Twins' problem. They aren't good.
Yes, correct.
Catching, terrible.
Terrible.
Yep. Terrible. Neither of them are hitting 150. One Carver's hitting 160, and he's ahead of Jeffers, is overmatched. And by the way, Jeffers, we're also proud of him being down on, you know, basically down on his knee with the knee down and everything. Can't throw anybody out from there. They had 8 stolen bases, you know, because he, you know, you got to, he's not in position to throw because he's got to adjust himself from that correct. Wonderful low position that they spent all this time developing with him.
Which, by the way, the more I watch, I think he's incredibly flawed in different ways we didn't talk about.
Yeah. Well, one is mobility for the catcher. Yeah.
And you're also, and I've also,
they think they're
the
stealing
tips.
They also think they're
you
stealing.
See those?
Yeah. Oh, he's getting killed.
They're getting him right in the groin now, and there's no, like, armor there.
Yeah, and he's also, you know, they think they're stealing low pitches, but they aren't.
Yep.
You know, I mean, the umpires aren't calling the ball down. No. They aren't calling the ball down. It's got to be at the knees now. They're more likely to give you a high pitch than a low pitch now. But, so they're bad there. Can't hit there. First base, empty.
Yep.
Empty area.
Yep.
I mean, I love Willens Astudillo. He's not an everyday first baseman.
Nope.
Polanco playing as badly at second as he did at short and can hit. I don't know why that is. Mm-hmm. They get Simmons back, and he's a Looney Tunes. I mean, he's a great shortstop, but he's, you know, he's from another planet. Donaldson's okay, you know, if he can stay healthy, which is very you know what? Are they going to panic? Now, Kirilov's 0-14, hasn't had a hit. Are they going to panic?
They better not.
They got to play him.
He also hit
a couple
balls
shots
yesterday.
They
gotta, that got caught.
They got to say, this is it. You know, if you get to July 4th and he's hitting 80,
oh, yeah, Pat, yeah.
80, then go.
Yeah.
But he
ain't the problem right now.
No. Jake Cave can't get him out of the lineup. Iron Man, 19.
I like your theory. The Bob Allison theory is my
yes,
favorite.
Right. He's a cousin of the Poleheads. I'm sure he is. I don't know. But, you know, maybe somebody met Bob Polehead in Hollywood or something. I don't know, but he's related. And Buxton's are only, you look all over the club, the only superior position they have is center field. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Maeda, I don't know what's his deal. He won't challenge anybody. Jose's been good. But, and Pineda, even though what happened to him over the weekend. I still like him Saturday. And but Shoemaker, and I mean, it's,
you know what?
I just in the bullpen.
You know, I actually think the struggling pitchers could be okay. My concern is what you said, though, which is this one. So I keep being told by the local RSN, well, the Twins have a lot of injuries, and wait till guys come back, okay? So Sano comes back. He's hitting 111.
Yes.
Max Kepler hasn't been the same since 2019.
We don't know why.
Right. But what I but
we know why Suhan Suhan, did I say Suhan?
Oh, he's struggling at the plate too.
Yeah, well, he's still confident, I see. Sano is, I don't know.
But you tell me, like, offensively, are you sure that this is going to come back? Because I'm not.
No, I'm not.
I'm with you on this.
I mean, your best hitter is Buxton. Your second best hitter is Cruz. And he's 40.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
41, whatever the hell he is. They're not good. You know, that's their problem. These two pitchers that dazzled them over the weekend.
Oh, God.
Poor old Trevor Cahill could hit you right in the forehead and not hurt you.
Yes.
With his best fastball. And then some guy they called up from the, can we just say the minors instead of the alternate site? That's another irritant of mine.
Had
the
you heard of Will
site.
Crow before yesterday?
Never heard of him.
Because I hadn't. And why doesn't he have a second L in Will? W-I-L.
Put another
L on there, buddy.
That's become kind of popular.
Four innings for him.
Yeah,
yes.
He just dazzled them. Pittsburgh is, I mean, they got one of the most anonymous collections of players I've ever seen in that lineup. And it was a mismatch. They were better all weekend.
2-6-2 games.
Yeah. Just Hap, you know, was very good.
And that, yep.
Hap showed what you can do against that Pittsburgh lineup. You just throw it over, you know. But I don't know. They're going to Cleveland now. I got to think, you know, Rocco is very happy because it's a night game so the fellas can sleep. That's good. But
get them off their feet, Pat.
But get them off their feet.
Got to get them off their feet.
But the weather we had here is probably heading right over to Cleveland, huh? So it's going to be 40 and raining. That'll be fun. You know, you'll be there 3 days. Plesac's kid's been terrible, but that doesn't mean he can't give them two hits. And then Savali's pretty good, and they got some guy pitching Wednesday I never heard of. But I don't know. How did they convince themselves of Matt Shoemaker? He was good in 2016 or something. I mean, come on.
Well, he's hurt a lot.
Let me see Blazevic or Duran or somebody. Why do I have to watch this? Why can't I see a live arm? I want a live arm. I don't want to watch this crap, you know?
I don't know.
I
have no idea.
I don't know. I think it will not be 63-99, which was 2011.
Yeah, but it's not going to be the 96 wins I was sitting
this
on.
This is 2011, though. The vibe is 2011.
That's what I tried to tell Phil. The vibe. Something's off.
Yes.
And I have no clue what, and because we can't go in the clubhouse, it makes it difficult to get reads on people because you certainly can't do it through Zoom. Something feels off, though.
Yes. Yes, it does. And I think Rocco misses Mike Bell,
mm-hmm,
or Derek Shelton,
mm-hmm,
or whoever that right-hand man is, because he's got some 51-year-old guy from the minor leagues who's just, they added to the staff, who's, you know, I would doubt has the same trust factor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know. I think they're, they got to stop making excuses for everybody. And I did see that.
Yes.
I did see what's the one we love all the time that I can't even remember what it is now.
From the Twins?
Yeah, the guy says it's the old, we love the lack of intensity. How about the lack of doubles? How about the lack of doubles?
Yeah. Yes.
You know, it's the lack of intensity.
And they've just got guys that can't hit.
Yes.
I mean, that's your problem.
Yeah. And right now, optimism meter for what you're bringing out of this season, they're last, even behind the Timberwolves. There's more optimism that something, a little something, might be happening with the Timberwolves because Edwards is better than we thought. Cat is playing with an level of enthusiasm and energy that we haven't seen since maybe the playoff run and you know, 3 years ago. Not run, playoff
appearance.
Playoff snooze, but playoff appearance. And I like Russell coming off the bench because he, you know, you don't start the game with him giving up six layups, you know, and not guarding anybody. Right. But he comes in, and all of a sudden, whatever they've been doing, trying to do to stop you defensively, they got to change it because he starts making shots. You know, if he goes into the fourth quarter and he's already 2 for 11 on threes, but he comes in now, he hits a couple of shots, and you got issues. So anyway, there's if they can add something, they could. I can see 30 wins next year.
If you want the best lawn on the block all season long, hook up with a Minnesota-grown lawn care company that knows that dandelions, mystery weeds, bare spots, and blight are completely unacceptable. That's ProfessionalTurf.com. If you want service techs with 20 years of experience, techs who throw down a combination of environmentally friendly weed killer and slow-release long-term fertilizers, then visit ProfessionalTurf.com. And you know what? While you're on the website, take a close look at their landscape projects. And don't forget, they'll service your irrigation system too. You will have the most lush and luxurious lawn on the block. It's our one stop for exceptional landscape irrigation services and the best lawn on the block, ProfessionalTurf.com.
That's pretty damn good for them. That's pretty impressive. 30.
You know, well, what? If I'd have to look it up. 30, let's say... it's an 82-game season. Let's say 32 wins. What's the over and under on seasons? Have they lost? Have they won more than 32 more often than they
have?
We'll have to look it up.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up.
I do think Finch has a plan.
Oh, I think he
does. Like, I think Finch knows what he's doing.
I think some nights he just, when they get behind, he just lets them give up 140 and go ahead and shoot their threes and stuff. But it's not all just shoot crazy-ass threes like it was. I mean, it's there is a plan.
Yes.
There is a little plan, and he's...
And Ant, five steals against the Jazz on Saturday.
Ant's good, but...
That's not bad.
And just think how fired up Ant will be if it's somebody's birthday one of these nights. It'll be great. He's got a cousin who's having a birthday in Tennessee. Boy, he's going to be fired up. He's a goofball, which we like. It seems like an affable goofball.
That's what I was going to say. I think he's a good goofball, not a weirdo.
So anyhow,
so Patrick, baseball 2021 has three things that are great fun and scapegoats. Okay, one you've talked about, a closer who is basically failing.
Okay? Yes.
The second, a third base coach who waves guys incessantly and fans turn on. But the third one, the first guy that I think you fire now, and I'm wondering if the Twins would do this, the hitting coach.
Really? Yeah.
We love to fire hitting coaches now.
Yes, there are teams that have done that. Yes, and they lost, you know, Rousen, and they haven't. They hit great with Rousen in 2019. They actually tried to go out and get somebody who went someplace else. I don't know. They tried to. And they took this guy out of the
minor league system.
And, yeah, I've said that, you know, this spring. I said, and they don't have any problem with him. But, you know, they're the coordinators of football.
And we used to fire pitching coaches. It felt like. Only in season. Now it feels like we turn on.
Yeah, well, Pyre, there's been some
hitting coach first.
And but what everybody has to realize, and what the Twins are doing now is inexcusable. But everybody has to realize you can't use the old numbers to say we aren't performing.
Yeah,
everything is, you know, in what was it that I read, the combined average in 18 was 253 or something like that. The Major League Baseball average was 250. And, you know, like at the start of this decade, it was 258 or 259, and now it's 230.
Wow.
Nobody can hit. I mean, there's the strikeout numbers are – the Buster had this. I might have mentioned it already. Buster had this the other day, about three, 4 days ago. 4,800 and some strikeouts and 4,000 hits. You know, I mean, everybody just the strikeout numbers are this kid from Milwaukee, Colton Burns, is going to make Bob Gibson look like a piker with his 1.12 ERA and his strike. I mean, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. We talked about it. They're going to have to move the mound back foot and a half. See if start off with 18 inches, 62 feet, because they got to give the hitters more time to react. There's nothing else you can do, I don't think. You know, we've talked about three balls, two strikes, and all that stuff. Well, then you'd have 80 million strikeouts. But,
right.
They got to do something. And I think but the trouble with the little greater distance to the plate is if you see an uptick in arm injuries, then people are going to blame that. So
yeah.
I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do, but...
I don't trust Rob to fix it.
No, not Rob's not when he's not smart enough to know that somebody might someday pitch a 7-inning no-hitter in an official game.
For a sport that just revels in its statistical history, it is incredible the things they don't think of.
Oh, it's incredible.
Like, they're the one sport that people care about statistics across the board.
Did they really want, when replay started, that if a guy's reaching back to slide back into first base and his finger pops off the base and somebody tags him, did they really want that to be an out that decides a playoff game or something?
No.
I mean, it's you know, did Dave Roberts touch the base? Would we have, could have we broken down that tape and find out that he was off the base for 1/18 of a second and say, you're out.
Yeah.
Yankees go to the World Series. Sorry, Red Sox. You know? As I said, what is wrong with having the umpire say, nope, too close. We're not looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not looking at it.
Or, as you've talked about for a long time, if you have your hand or your foot pop off the base for a split second, but you were safe.
Yes.
And now it's off, and I keep the tag on.
Yeah.
And you're out. That was never the intent of anything.
No.
They never were trying to get you for that.
No, but the big debate in one of the last Twins games, I go, that some guy clearly stole second base, and then we were trying to decide whether and they broke it down anytime. Well, I guess he's safe. Yes, he's safe. Yeah. He's been safe for 10 minutes.
Right, but that shouldn't be looked at.
No.
You should say, if you think the guy came up short of the base,
yes, sure.
then we'll look. If you think he popped off the base,
if he slid past
the base, we're not going to waste our time.
No. No, we're not going to defile
the
game. Now we're going to have bigger bases, right? Isn't that one of our things?
Yes.
We're going to have bigger bases.
And the other thing, too, is baseball's had replay since when? 2000 what?
It's been too long.
Okay, it's been a long time, right? They still don't have a system to tell the fans at home or in the stands why they decided things.
Yeah.
So, like, there's no
why don't you tell
like,
people?
They stop the game sometimes, and the announcers have no idea why they stopped the game.
6 minutes, something like that.
But, you know, you could get on a mic. Joe West loves to hear himself, would love to get on a mic and say, we're reviewing this.
Yes. Yeah, he would. He would. So, we got, is this some ESPN station here?
What are we watching? NFL Network draft.
NFL.
Draft.
Then I can see... path to the draft.
This is the path to the draft.
Well, is there any drama in the path to the draft? Because it's set for a certain time. It's not like the path to Dallas for the final.
No, you clearly don't understand the draft.
No,
because this path is big.
Honest to God, they can draft if they don't draft one of the quarterbacks or Rashad Bateman. There's a damn good chance I've never heard of the guy. The tackles.
I was going to say the tackles.
I can't argue about which offensive lineman they should have taken or anything like that. I just it just doesn't. We have so many people covering it that the They don't need me.
I saw the columns in Sunday's paper. You had Suhan wrote about it, Lavelle.
Mm-hmm. And then, Lavelle doesn't want him to take a quarterback. Well, you know, we didn't want him to take Dante Culpepper and 99. That worked
they
out
need to
okay.
take a quarterback.
If he's if there's
I would
a
take
decent
one. Yeah.
They just had, whoever this was, had Trey Lance going to the Lions.
Mm-hmm. That's seven.
Seven. So he goes, he's the fourth QB then?
Yes, because
he goes. Fields goes ahead of him then?
No. Mac Jones goes to San Francisco
Matt
third.
Jones? Why did they fall into love with him?
I don't even know if they really are or if it's
smoke. I deduct from him because he's from Alabama. Because they're so good.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have to be any good.
And the shirt of
I
the
want
shot
that little
shirt
fast.
Off,
I want the little. Where's that. The little fast guy going?
Who's the fast guy?
Devonta Smith. Where's that guy going?
The wide receiver. There's debate about where he'll go, but probably within the top, at the very least, top 14 or so. 15,
I like him.
15.
I want him. He's okay. Percy. Well, why wouldn't we take him? This is Ricey for EcoFun Motorsports. The preseason sale on all bikes, scooters, and ATVs is going on right now in Forest Lake. Beat the spring rush, and EcoFun will give you the free storage with your purchase until the weather is a bit more bike-friendly. If you enjoy bike rides on a summer day, but maybe your knees aren't what they used to be, then I recommend that you talk with Tim Bloom, the owner of EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Tim and his family will personally help you select the e-bike that is right for you. They will even deliver to your front door in the metro area. Take advantage of the preseason sale prices right now. Bentelli bikes and Yamaha Power Assist bikes are at their lowest price of the year. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Take a test ride and put biking back on your list of favorite outdoor activities. They also carry a full line of Yamaha scooters, motorcycles, and a variety of Yamaha ATVs, including ATVs for kids. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake and online at EcoFunMotorsports.com. That's E-C-O-F-U-N Motorsports.com. And tell Tim you heard it on Ricey Unchained.
Because Zim wants defense. He will begrudgingly, I think, accept a tackle.
Why would they not take... You put Devonta Smith on the field with
about this.
Dalvin Cook and the rest of those guys and the rest of
think
the
about
speed
that.
They have.
Think
that'd
about
be
that.
Something.
Yeah.
All you got to do is throw a little screen pass to him. Hey, what's this new rule that if you complete two straight passes behind the line of scrimmage, it's a 5-yard penalty? What was that thing?
I didn't see
what
this.
Is this?
I didn't see
or
this.
Or incomplete.
Hold on. I'm going to Google it right now.
There's a
because they did pass some new rules last week.
Yeah, there's some about I didn't get it. Two straight passes behind the line of scrimmage that are incomplete. There's, I don't know what it is. It's something's a penalty.
Okay, so this must have been passed last week.
I saw it, or maybe it got turned down. I don't know, but that was one of the rules.
All right, I'll find it. I did not realize
that. Did you see this, Declan? Something about incomplete passes behind the line of scrimmage.
No, regarding like the lead.
NFL is going to be a penalty.
It is?
That's what. I saw it. I read.
They did pass a bunch of rules last week.
Yeah, yeah. Incomplete pass. Okay, we can look at our we can
yeah,
look.
I'm looking.
Stuff.
I'm
the
looking through
going
six
on?
Of the new
what
rules.
The hell? What do you care? What do you care, people? We're gonna we want this.
Oh, add a loss of down to the penalty of a second forward pass. Previously, when a team committed a penalty for two forward passes on one play, the enforcement was a 5-yard penalty. Now teams will also incur a loss of down for that penalty in addition
to
the 5 yards.
I thought
yards.
It was something about...
So, no.
No, I thought it was something about throwing...
It's
I thought
screw
it was
it
something to try to get rid of people throwing short in the flats or something.
Okay, no.
I didn't understand
it's if
it.
You throw... If you think you're throwing backwards probably to have another to throw downfield and you throw four, you know, slightly forwards, it's now going to be a loss of down as well as a 5-yard penalty.
You know, I think we have enough offense in the game and defense is out of luck, but I would like the Canadian rule where you can go in motion.
Everyone knows in motion?
Yeah, you can go.
Grandma's in motion, grandpa's in motion.
You can go in motion.
I got you.
Because can you imagine the complaining of fans? Because they're all offside, you know, they're all offsides all the day. I mean, they're already.
Yeah, but what if
they
you
break
have...
the line of scrimmage? But can you imagine the complaining of the Packers are there? They let the Packers get offsides all the time. It'd be great.
Can you imagine Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook, Thielen, all of them running around?
Yeah, but what if you put Justin Jefferson with this Smith character?
Oh, God, yeah, it'd be great.
And Cal Cook, if he's there, and I do have an opinion.
See, this is,
if he's there and Spielman doesn't take him, he's a moron. Okay?
You started off by saying you had nothing.
You would be in
Where's your column?
You would be in the dome with that all those guys. On turf.
You know what?
I'd take him in a heartbeat.
I sense
he's the best I've ever seen.
I sense a Royce blog where you should go home and say, at the start of the day, I didn't care.
I didn't have
and now I'm hot.
Now I found out he might be available. Are you kidding me? He's the best I've ever seen. He's unbelievable.
This is why the National Football League prints money.
Boy, He won the Heisman. No, who won the Heisman? Did he win the Heisman?
He won the Heisman, didn't he?
He won the Heisman.
Yeah, he won the Heisman.
He won the Heisman. For God's sakes, that doesn't happen. First one since Desmond Howard, right? I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. So
anyway, you do have an opinion, you see?
I do. Now I have an opinion.
You thought you didn't have an opinion. Everyone has an opinion.
I like fast guys who can actually catch the ball. I don't like fast guys who, when they throw them a ball, it hits in the helmet. I don't like those guys.
Were you in Denver with me?
Yes.
Oh,
that was the funniest thing ever. I said, you know, did I say this? Do you guys? I don't know. I might have said it. But my buddy Ray Fitzgerald, well, and a guy I knew fairly well, great columnist with the Boston Globe, died in the – I shouldn't have said my buddy. I just knew him a little bit. Died in the mid-70s of cancer. Mm-hmm. And he was a cynical guy in a funny sort of way. You know, it was not – he was not mean-spirited. He was just hilarious. And he kind of taught Motvill everything he knows about being a columnist. But he's dying of cancer. And Motvill's up in the hotel room. I mean, in the hospital room with him and the family. And he's fading in and out of consciousness, right? And he wakes up. And the Red Sox games, the afternoon Red Sox games on TV. And Juan Benitez is playing in the outfield. And the ball hits him in the head. Fly ball hits him in the head, and it bounces off, and Fitzgerald gets this big smile on his face and dies like 5 seconds later. The last thing he sees is a Red Sox. You know, they hadn't won anything yet. It was a Red Sox bleeping up a play. And I was saying, the last thing of hard, if the Vikings never win the Super Bowl and you're a hardcore Viking fan with all these losses, the last thing you should see before you die is a replay of Troy Williamson getting hit in the head with hitting the helmet with the best pass Tarvaris Jackson ever threw right in the eye. That was hysterical. That was also the best game, best second half in overtime that Tarvaris ever played.
Yeah,
he was terrific.
That play looked like it was scripted to have Williamson do that on purpose for a film about Troy's life.
Yes,
didn't
that's
it?
True.
Like, I mean, you can't have it go because it hit him in the helmet and boing, and it went up. I mean, it was too perfect.
Yeah, it was great. God, it was.
It was one of those things we saw it, and I was just shaking my head. I said, "Did he just did
Has
that?"
Has anybody in anybody in all these years now? That was 2005, right? So we're 16 years later.
Yep.
Has anyone ever done a breakdown? And in reflection is how they settled on him. I know they wanted to replace Moss, but how they who convinced them to do that? Who was running the operation?
Seifert's always told the story that it was that at the end they all blamed the other guy. that Tice went to the combine and saw how fast this kid was and loved him, but I think Tice then turned around when it didn't work and he said, Wes Chandler, who was his receivers coach at the time.
Well, you can't be the
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, everybody tried to go and say
but
no.
Wes Chandler loved him.
But yes.
But you can't let Wes Chandler make that decision.
I'm sure it was Tice saw the
seventh overall, for God's sake. Yeah. Who was the boss? Who was the general manager did we have? I mean,
no.
We did not. It was the
Brzezinski was the cap guy.
Tice, Brzezinski, yeah. and
but there was no.
Who was the third guy helping make decisions?
Well, so that was before Childress and Fran Foley. Was there a third guy? Was there, like, I think there
I
were
thought
scouts.
There was, but I was. I mean, Rykov, Frank Gilliam wasn't. That yeah. wasn't when Frank was in charge, was it?
I mean, Paul
was Frank a little earlier.
Wigan was there at the time.
Yeah.
As a scout. I mean, I'm sure it was Tice saw the speed and said, oh, my God.
Yeah, but did Ticey at that point have that much clout? Now, they were changing.
He was a head coach.
They were changing yeah. owners that summer, right? Wilf and.
Yes.
Wilf was in May of 2005.
May
and Red was. And yes. then they probably. How long did they get approved in May of 2005?
Yeah, I think it went through in May or June.
Okay. So, because everything was.
But
so
it had was, to be. It had to be Ticey.
Wow.
I mean, he would have had the most clout, and Brzezinski's a cap guy. I don't think he was.
Yeah,
I'm sure he had some say, but.
Yeah, he probably did. I'm trying to think of who the
other. But, Pat, they took Williamson at 7 and Erasmus James at 19.
Yeah, that was one of the worst drafts of all time.
And then Rodgers went wherever he went, 20, mm-hmm. to the Packers.
Yes.
But that's one of the absolutely worst drafts.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
Two top 20 picks, and you get.
You know, we talk about.
Two stiffs.
We talk about Ticey's getting fired for the Love Boat and ticket. Scam and ticket selling and what else? What else? There was a third thing there, wasn't there? Something, but that draft was probably if that was his decision making, that's probably as good a reason as any that he got yeah. run off. Even though we all loved him, but it was,
oh yeah, Mike was great, but yeah,
yeah, yeah. But
I mean, they had no structure. It was no. They were a Ma and Pa shop.
Well. Yeah, we're going to get Troy Williamson. And by the way, we don't have an offensive coordinator because we're too yeah. cheap. We let him go.
Poor Steve Valone.
Yeah. Steve is a great, nicest guy
oh,
ever.
Yeah.
Fine offensive line coach. But you can't go to him and say, you're going to call plays in the NFL, which you've never done since you were 20 years ago in Iowa State or something.
An offensive line coach is a full-time job.
Yes, it is.
Like, that's not a one where you can have, you know, so-and-so go work with the guards today. I'm going to go work on plays.
And Linehan was Culpepper's guy.
Yes.
You know, Linehan did a great job with the Culpepper. So that was stupid. But you know what? Draft busts are almost as fun as draft successes, though, aren't they, to remember when you go back?
Remember them just as well.
Yeah. Who's the last great one, Bonner?
Yeah.
Well, no, Laquon Treadwell. He's a bust.
Yeah, but I feel like quarterback busts are the best.
Oh, sure. Yeah, they're the best.
Treadwell was
but the thing
player.
That they both had in common, they were both reaches.
You know the problem?
They were both reaches.
You know the problem with Laquon? He just couldn't play. So we don't have the stories about him. Like, he just didn't play that much,
no.
right? But the great thing about Ponder and Troy was they played a lot. So we got the stories about them playing.
I was talking to Gessling the other day, and I said, here's my rule about receivers being taken early.
Mm-hmm.
If the best thing you can say about them is they have a great catch radius, don't draft them. Because I don't want a receiver that has a great catch radius, which means he's in traffic. Mm-hmm. I want one that's fast enough to not be in traffic. I want Justin Jefferson, who, by the way, does have the catch radius
right.
to go with the speed.
Right.
But I want the guy who's 5 feet, who's 5 yards away from the defensive back, and therefore, I don't care if he has a catch radius or not. And Laquon, that's all we talked about, is catch radius, which means he's going to be fighting for the ball 8 yards down the field, right?
Yes.
I don't want that.
And he couldn't.
I don't want that.
Escape from anybody.
I have a few football rules. That's one term I hate.
The most important term, though, is catch.
Yes. Right.
I don't care about the radius. Can you catch the football?
Well, one thing about Troy is he wasn't in traffic that often.
No,
but it didn't make any difference.
The ball that went off his mask. I think he was 15 yards clear of the closest defender.
Ten yards. I wonder. He's doing okay, right?
Yeah, I think he became a motivational speaker.
Oh.
Real positive.
Real
positive guy.
How to become positive thinker after yeah. you've been ridiculed
yes.
by the nation, you know.
Seventh pick.
Yeah, that's true. Who are we not talking about? What's wrong with our loons right here on 1500?
We got to get our guy Jonathan Harrison back to tell us. I don't know. And the coach melted down, but by the way.
Oh, did he rip him good?
Heath's the great. No, the goaltender. So the goaltender from the opponent, Salt Lake, right?
Yeah.
On Saturday,
I didn't even know they had a team, by the way, but go ahead.
Real Salt Lake, by the way.
Yeah.
The most
Real.
Pretentious. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Real right. Salt Lake.
Yeah, just like Madrid.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
So I guess he kicked. So the game came to, or the match came to an end, and he kicked the ball at the supporters behind the goal, which, you know, is Bush League. And Adrian got very upset and, like, went out and confronted him.
All our, and by the way, you mean fans, right? When you say supporters.
Supporters, yes.
Sucker.
Yes. I said match, too. You didn't catch on to that.
Well, I said match.
I corrected myself.
I can go with match.
But anyway, so the match got done on the pitch, and the supporters got the ball kicked at them.
And were they upset?
The Loons were upset. Yeah, it was okay. Bush League.
Well, so it's like Trevor Bauer throwing a ball over the fence after he gets
yeah,
the ball
but it'd
right.
be like if he did it at the fans.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought Heath
you
was
know what
mad
Heath
at him
because
I saw Heath's quotes and I didn't. He wasn't ripping the team. So
Heath's got some Sonmore to him.
Oh, he does. Yeah,
we miss those guys. He's got a little Glenn to him.
Yeah. Well, he's here's their problem. Honest to God, I didn't zero in on the kicks when they were here, right?
Yep.
But I knew who was playing for them.
I agree. I
have
agree.
No yes. idea
yes.
who's playing for
Why
them.
Why don't we have that?
Because they change 8 guys every 20 minutes.
But, I mean, I could tell you 4 to 5 kicks regulars, right?
Now?
No.
Oh,
back,
kicks
no,
regulars.
But,
you can throw 8 or 9.
Alan Willie.
Ace.
Tino Letteri.
Ace. Jeff Barnett.
Ricardo Alonso,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they had Jeff, somebody Alonso. No, but they had, you know, most of them stayed here and lived, too. You know?
But you're right. Yeah. Like, I could tell you
I don't
who,
know
the
who
kicks
are
were.
These guys.
I don't know.
In fact, I found the great scene from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid when they're being the guy in a white hat and his group are following them, and they kept saying, who are those guys? You know, which was a great scene. Who are they split? Who are finally Sundances? Who are those guys? You know, that's what I don't. Who
You're
are
right.
these guys?
You know? I don't know.
You know, how do you, if none of them stay around more than a year or two, how do you get into them? You know,
it's the transfer thing. That's the problem.
Guy named Brent Kalman has been here for a while. And I think he's local.
He's local.
Right?
Yeah. I think he's like a stolen.
I didn't have to be local, but. But I
no, but I mean, you would think that we would have the goaltender down, but they always change
they
the goaltender.
They change the goaltender.
Yeah.
Too. Well, we had the best goaltender in the history of the league, and we were too cheap and let him go to a Division III team in Europe, for God's sake.
I'm with you. You're
you
right.
Know, yeah. I don't know.
I used to know a lot of kicks names.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd play indoor, the great indoor soccer, and have those 20 to 18 games.
Oh, God. I said on Twitter, I took my 2 sons to a kicks indoor game, and it only took them 2 or 3 years to forgive me for the cruelty. They hated it. They hated it.
I used to go all the time.
And so did I.
I used to go to the kicks game. They were 25 to 24.
Oh, yeah, right. Playing on carpet. Can you imagine how their legs felt after that game?
You know,
it was like that thick.
These guys spend the entire year playing 1-0, 2-1 games.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, you're watching an indoor game. And
right.
19-18 going into the last period.
I told you this story before, but when the Strikers came here as an indoor team, right? I was writing columns for St. Paul. And they... Guy called me up, whoever the PR guy was, you know, the Robbies owned them, guy called me up and says, hey, Patrick, we got to get you out for a Striker game. And I said, you know what? Biggest favor we can do to each other is not have me come out and write a column about this. I'm doing you a favor, and you're doing me a favor by not asking me to come out, and I'm doing you a favor by not going. I said, you don't want me to come to one of your games, okay? Then we'll get along great if I never show up to write about it. Because if I write about it, I am going to be offended by what I see. So let's just all get along. And if you run into me someplace, say hello, and we'll have a good conversation.
Just not at Met Center for an indoor
no,
game.
No, I'm not coming out for an indoor soccer game.
Gracie here with Canopy Group Facts. Fact 1, the Canopy Group writes more business in 1 month than a captive agent writes in 3 years. How is this possible? Let's share the other facts for you to understand. Fact two, the Canopy Group offers 16 different insurance companies, not just one. Fact three, the Canopy Group offers annual policies, not six-month policies, that leave you at risk for two premium increases per year. Fact four, the Canopy Group offers one deductible at claim time, not two, three, four, or even more. Fact five, every year the Canopy Group will shop your home and auto insurance with their 16 companies. Captive insurance agencies can't shop that way for you because guess what? They only have one company to deal with. Now that you have the facts, it's time to get the options. Call 800-967-3389. Or visit thecanopygroup.com. It's bad enough that you have Gigi Pilhofer out there getting me to write about the rodeo every year. So,
or did you have to go out?
Oh, Gigi, every year the rodeo. She'd get me for the rodeo every year.
I avoided the rodeo. I never asked my parents to take me to the rodeo.
She'd call and say, Ricey, Gigi, when's the rodeo? I'd say, I knew it was coming up here sometime. So it was always a bull rider, too.
I forgot about the rodeo.
Every year.
They crammed every damn thing in that building that could.
You know, they had the blood battle going with the Civic Center, but I don't think the Civic Center ever went for the rodeo. They fought them for the ice shows, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that they fought them for the ice shows and they fought them for concerts.
Jerry Zagoda's report on the 2-1 loss to Salt Lake, though, was that it was a very boring performance by our boys.
Yeah, I avoided it.
I did listen to enough, watch enough of the game that I found out that Callum is still short of breath.
Oh, I saw your tweet about Callum.
I worry about Callum.
Yeah.
I want him.
I think Callum likes being short of breath.
I don't know. I think he should. I hope they got an oxygen tank up there next to him so he can take a puff once in a while if it gets too exciting. I worry about him. He's very.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's got the British thing going,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, he does.
I think that's a very breathy thing.
How do they do that? I don't know.
It's amazing. But, I mean, at least he's a genuine article doing the games.
Yes. Oh, he is. He is. And,
you know.
And I think the commenter does the gal, Kendra.
Here's my question.
She's fine. I had her as a guest.
Are they
a couple
positive
of times.
Enough for Bally Sports North?
Well, they're on channel 29 the other day. Or 23.
Sinclair owns that, too.
23.
That's the new third channel.
Yeah, third channel. Do you see, by the way, whose game? Tonight, do the Wolves play tonight?
Yes.
That game is not on AM or FM radio.
It's not?
It's only being streamed.
Oh, by CCO?
Streamed on.
The Twins will be on CCO.
Yeah, but what?
Why
would they
FM?
Farm them out to the FM that they farm?
I have no idea.
They're experimenting, I think.
So it's only going to be streamed.
That's what I read today in the notes. Yes.
That's actually happening a lot in hockey.
Yes.
I think the Sharks and the Kings both are only streamed now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're on radio in Los Angeles or San Jose. So, yeah, that might be the new thing.
Yeah. Well, there's a baseball team, too, right? That's only
streamed. A's were only streamed last year, but I think they got a radio deal again now.
Well,
I don't think baseball fans are ready for only streaming.
How about them? Worst A's team since they moved to Oakland.
Yeah, it's incredible.
For six games, and then they win 13 in a row.
It's unbelievable.
It's incredible. They got to play the Twins.
Hey, those Pods Dodgers games are
great.
Unbelievable.
Ah, they're trying, man. They're good. Two best teams in baseball, probably.
Do you know what those remind me of, Patrick? When I was a kid, what the Red Sox and Yankees were.
Yes.
Not this 4-hour crap.
No.
But like you got star power, pitching. There's almost a respect there, but there's also hate. It's got all of those components going for it.
I go back, obviously, a lot further than you do, but when I was a beat guy, and I was just starting off as a beat guy, 74-5 maybe, I remember we came in on a off day on a Monday to Boston. And, no, it must have been on a Thursday or something because the Red Sox were playing the Yankees in the first series of the season against the two teams. And the Boston Globe had 6 reporters in New York.
Wow.
And it was fantastic. I mean, it was fantastic stuff. It was like reading about the Super Bowl and one of the home teams thing. They broke out Bob Ryan. They took him off the Celtics beat. They had sidebars from each locker room, 2 columns, Gammon's doing his notes, the game story. And it was all great stuff. And it was like a 18-page sports section. Wow. And I said, man, I love baseball. Yep. Like this, because it, then, you know, everybody had an angle and they, you know, they could write till 1 in the morning to get it in print, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I always said it changed my life. It changed the way I wanted to write when I saw the way all these guys, you know, it was unbelievable. And then they played there again the next night. So I remember watching the game. And then, you know, they played again the next night.
Right.
And then the Twins played them in a series over the weekend. But I'd have to look up what the days were, but it was fantastic. So yeah, it meant something. You know, you had to win the division, else you weren't going. You know, you had to finish first.
Right.
That makes a big difference. You got to finish first.
But that's why this is fun.
Yeah.
Because it works. It still works.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to finish first. I mean, you're going to end up in a wild card game.
Yeah.
That'd be the idiocy of this 7-team playoff thing. I mean, if you want to keep the importance on the division rivalries, then the wild card's not a bad deal because, hey, who wants to go play one game?
Right.
You know, look at Pittsburgh. They're only 3 good years they've had since We Are Family, and they're 1-and-done because they can't win the division.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
All right, sir, final thoughts?
I think that we should not let Minneapolis interlope into the Stanley Cup parade. I think we gather at the Schmidt Brewery,
okay. The
old Schmidt Brewery, go right down West 7th.
I like it.
Go right down West 7th.
Yeah, Declan's the St. Paul guy.
Go around. Then we can circle up and go around the Capitol and come back, right? Or we can circle
up. Minneapolis out.
We can circle up to the Capitol.
All right.
The hell with Minneapolis. The St. Paul down the street, you know, down West 7th, all these bars that are in need of help, you know, have them stop. And tell them, give them, you know, stop in front of each old-time saloon, give the crowd 10 minutes to buy drinks, keep coming. It'll be a great party. I don't even know if you have to go to the Capitol, but you got to have it downtown, you know. You, I guess you got to go to the Capitol probably for the gathering.
At the end, yeah.
To have enough fans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I say. Nothing.
Tom Reed loves this idea.
I don't think. Minneapolis has been big time in St. Paul for too long. Let's have the Stanley Cup parade right now. By the way, right now, Minneapolis, we're away from the Vikings, stuck with the Twins,
yep.
Stuck with the Timberwolves.
And Targets, huh?
Yeah. You got the Loons, who should be okay, even though they're 2-4. You got the Saints coming online here. You got the Wild with the Stanley Cup run. And St. Thomas, who knows what's happening
there.
Things
are pretty good in St. Paul right now.
St. Paul's looking pretty good. We're the poor stepchildren over there in Minneapolis.
You know what the Saints should do? Come in and screw the Twins and start a marketing campaign of we're playing real baseball.
Yes, we're playing real baseball cheap. We don't have 7-inning double. We've always had 7-inning double hitters, 9 and 7, but 7-inning double hitters.
Exactly.
But yes. Yeah. Come over here. Plus, we got a pig. Our pigs are there for comic relief, not in the lineup. Our pigs are. How about that? Our pigs are not in the lineup. They just bring out the balls. They don't butcher them.
They don't play positions.
Our pigs don't get butchered. God. How about that?
All right.
Be good. All right. See ya. If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy Josh will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.
Did you know that 61% of pet owners feel more prepared to be a good pet parent after testing with Embark? Embark your dog with Embark's dog DNA test to get hundreds of actionable health insights. You can be proactive with their health and work with your vet on a personalized care plan. Go to EmbarkVet.com and use promo code DNA, that's DNA, to get $60 off an Embark Breed and Health Kit or Purebred Kit with free shipping. That's promo code DNA to save today.